Bible says, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing that the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things, I want you to pay attention to this scripture. It says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. That's all I feel like reading. You may be seated. And I hope nobody feels disrespectful for by me not praying before we get into preaching. But I try to do my praying and try to do my asking of the Lord before I even get anywhere, before I even get behind the pulpit. I'll tell you, a lot of times, and I've been in a lot of missionary Baptist churches, a lot of churches growing up in my life, and I've heard men, and I want to say this before I go anywhere else, not to be disrespectful, but sometimes they make their show by the way they pray, and the Bible says we shouldn't be as the scribes and the Pharisees to pray out loud and to try to make ourselves a show. This is not about being a show. This is about for the glory and the edification of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that He sent back His Spirit, not so that man could be edified, but so that Christ could be edified. So now when a priest today of God will help me just for a little while. We read the Bible now in the book of Acts how the Bible says Paul is on his way to Ephesus now. He's on his way out of the elders of Ephesus, and he's trying to explain to the elders of Ephesus and the things that he has to do. But he said he began to say how that he was going in certain parts of the world, and he was doing this and doing that. But Brother Jeff, he said, all them things that I've done, he said that it does not profit me. It does not satisfy me. He said that I may finish my course, that I may finish the work that I've set out to do. I heard the brother done say this morning, he had a friend that texted him. I said he don't want to go on the straight way no more. Let me say this. Stay on the straight way. Stay on the right way. If you stay with God, everything will work out. Everything will do. Work out the way that God said it will work out. Amen. But God laid this all on my heart. I heard a man preaching about 3 years ago. Brother Jeff, I'm pretty sure in the years you've been in ministry, you've had men that's preached a thought that just stuck out to your mind, and you took a little bit here and a little bit there, and God made a message out of it. But God's laying this on my heart. I began to see when I was a little child, some of you young people back in the back, I used to sing in the choir. I used to get up and quote scripture when I was a little boy, and I didn't have an understanding about what was really going on. But I seen through pure eyes. I seen through holy eyes. Brother Jeff, I didn't see the bad things that was going on in the church. I didn't see the hardship of what the pastor was going through. All I seen was the children of God. They raised their hands. They praised God for what God had done in their life. May I say this before I go anywhere else? We need to give praise, holy praise, back in the house of God, the people of God. There's no reason to hang your heads down. We're the children of the living God. And if we put our faith and our trust in Him, He'll work everything out. Amen. But I began to think. I was praying down in the barn the other day. Brother Jeff, some of you know who he is. Paul Baker down here. Baker's Automotive. Down these guys down here. Getting some tires the other day. Or getting some work done on my vehicle. Paul Baker and me were talking. And he said, brother, we talked for about an hour while I was getting my oil changed. He said, brother, I began to tell him how I used to be when I was a little boy. Brother Jeff, he began to tell me how I used to be back in the 60s and the 70s. And I've gone somewhere, just deal with me just for a minute. He told me how I used to be in the 60s and the 70s. Even the missionary Baptists, what we call doom and gloom in the church. I call them doom and gloom. They never shout. They never say amen much. They sit there like a normal log. But even the missionary Baptists and the independent Baptists and the Wesleyan and the Methodists and all of them, they knew what they was coming to church for. Hey, what are you coming to church for? Are you coming to let everybody look at you? But are you coming to church? And I say, God, I was glad when you said unto me, let me go into the house of the Lord. Don't look what everybody else is looking at you for. Just raise your hands toward God and say, God, no matter what people think about me, I'm going to praise the holy name of Jehovah Jireh, of Jehovah Nisi, and Jehovah Shalom. Amen. Some of the young people nowadays, and I'm preaching to young people, you don't even know who Jehovah Jireh is. You don't even know who Jehovah Shalom is. But you know who that is. That is the Lord God of heaven. He's the one that sits on the throne. He's the one who sits in the highest parts of the heaven. Oh, praise God. But now we read. Paul said that I may finish my course. But I begin to think about some things, Lord Jeff. How that we finish our course. And the Bible reads over there in the book of Exodus. And the Bible says that Moses finished the work. But Brother Jeff, I begin to read. And I don't think Moses finished the work by himself. I don't think Moses was able to pick up the pillars of the temple. I don't think Moses was able to take them big old drapes and throw them over the temple. Oh, I don't think he was able to do that all by himself. But the Bible says that there was a group of people that helped Moses along the way. I want to preach today, if God will help me, on the help of some devoted people that will help you finish your race. Listen to me, young people. I've been to high school. I know how it is. If you ain't got a buddy to be there, I'll be right beside of you. Drugs are high. Drugs are hard to get away from. Alcohol is a hard thing to say no to. Let me tell you just the truth. There is pleasure in it. There is pleasure in drugs. There is pleasure in alcohol. But one day after a while, you better hear what I'm saying. Them drugs and them and that alcohol, it's going to ruin you. It'll destroy you. It'll pull you away from God and pull you away from the blessings of God. Amen. But now, we read a man by the name of Moses. But Moses wasn't by himself. Brother Jeff, if you've done everything by yourself in this church, I don't mean this rude in no means, but somebody's got to be here on Sunday morning to turn on the lights. Somebody has got to be there to pay the bills. Brother Jeff, I don't mean this, and I hope you believe what I feel like. The pastor's job is to preach the Word of God. Oh, I know people don't like it like that. A pastor's got to go on visitation. A pastor's got to do this and do that. No, 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 no. That's why the church is the way that it is. That's why God said it's like a body fitly joined together. Everybody's got a part. Everybody's got a reason. Everybody's got a role. And if you'll do that role, you'll help the man of God to finish the work at going home Free Will Baptist Church. Amen. But now, I hope this is to the young people, Brother Jeff. I don't really know how to preach to young people. All I know is how to preach. You know, I ain't never been able to do that. I've just tried to give God everything I could. But I'm going to tell you, I go to a lot of churches, and I don't mean this rude, but the pastor, Brother Jeff, I don't know why God is laying this on my heart, but I go to a lot of churches, and it seems like the pastor, when he walks down the aisle, and I see him come into church, it seems like he's so beat down, and he's so wore down, and I don't mean this rude, but it's cause the people ain't trying to help the man of God. Oh, Lord, if you've got a good man, if you've got a good preacher, you ought to be there. You ought to help. Brother, I'm going to brag on you just for a minute. You're talking about soul winning. I don't know about Brother Jeff, but if I was the pastor here, I'd say praise God for some dedication in the house of the living God. Them babies you don't think you are affected one day after a while. I've heard it time and time again. These people didn't think when they grew up, them little babies grew up, they thought, well, I'm not doing much. But one day when they grow up, they're going to remember that man that had a goatee, that drove that bus. He drove it with his heart. He drove it with all his mind. One day after a while, God's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I'll make you ruler over many things. Amen. But God, we need some devoted people in the house of the living God. Somebody, I'll tell you, Brother Jeff, since I've announced my call to preach, is it all right if I just preach my heart? Since I've announced my call to preach, I know that some of the young people my age, when you get to the age of accountability, once you get saved, you start realizing that church ain't always. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Like Brother Jeff done said this morning, it ain't always a bed of roses. You'll have people that'll cut you down. You'll have people running you down. You'll have people talk about you. You'll have people gossip about you on Facebook. You'll have people run you down to everybody in the county. But oh God, there's been a few people in my life that's helped me when I was in my lowest state, when I couldn't hang my head up. I had a Moses and a Aaron and her. Oh, when my hands were hanging down, I had an Aaron and her. I put some sass under my hands and helped me raise my hands again when I was in my lowest state. You'll have some people in your life that'll pick you up and get you out of the ditch. Amen. But now, this is where I want to get to. We read over there in the book of, 2 Timothy. Brother Jeff, we read about a man by the name of Paul. And the Bible says that Paul, if you'd read the book right, he's in prison. He's into his last days. And he said, Timothy, be quick about your job. Be quick about coming to me. Because everybody has forsaken me. We read about a man by the name of Demas. And the Bible says he's forsaken him. Loving this present world. There's been some men. And Brother Jeff, I hope this is all right. But there has been some men in my life where I thought they'd go with me to the end. I thought they'd be there with me to the end. But oh, I didn't believe like they did. I didn't see things eye to eye like they did. And now they don't want to have nothing to do with me. But oh God, the Bible says notwithstanding. Hey, what the Bible say? Hey, you Bible readers know what I'm saying. Notwithstanding, but the Lord, He stood with me. Oh, when you feel like nobody else is around, that's when the Holy Spirit of God, that's when the Holy Covenant of God will come on the scene and be there for you when nobody else can help you. Amen. But we read about a man by the name. We read about a man by the name of Zechariah. And God laid this on my heart. We read about a man by the name of Zechariah. He begins to write in chapter number 4 about the temple of the temple of God. We read, Brother Jeff, how that he begins to write. If you go back into Ezra chapter 1 through 5, how we read, is this all right? How we read about a temple that's being built. How we read about a place that's being built for God to dwell in. And we read how the temple has been stopped for many years. It's been torn down by a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. But now we read how that Nebuchadnezzar, he said, or Darius, I believe it was, or no, it's Nebuchadnezzar. Just bear with me just for a minute. We read how he says to the children of Israel, he says, you can start building your temple again. But then there were some men that came over to where the Israelites were, and they said, can we bring our gods into with your God and build our temple here with your temple? But the children of Israel, they said no. They said you can't bring your gods into our God, for our God is the God of Israel. He's the God of Abraham. He's the God of Isaac, and He's the God of Jacob. Amen. And then we read about how they get jealous. God help me this morning. Brother Jeff, may I use wisdom here? May I have understanding? But if I've ever seen, and listen to me, young people, God, I feel like preaching this morning. I feel the Lord on me. I do. God, help me. I read in the Bible where they got jealous. You know what'll destroy a church faster than anything? It's jealousy. People are trying to be doing things for the God of heaven. Oh, Lord, I'm about to open my eyes. I feel the Holy Ghost. Oh, let me tell you right now. Let me tell you something, young people. Oh, you better do your work while you're able to do your work. Do your work while God. Enjoy the Creator in the days of the youth. Brother Jim, when the evil days draw nigh, Brother, you was teaching this morning about how you used to be in a boot camp, how you used to be able to go through them swamps, and you used to be able to walk through them swamps like it's nothing. But now a few years have gone on you. Oh, Lord, hear me, young people. Oh, let me tell you. They say, well, just try sex down before you get married. But you hear this little preacher this morning. Stay pure before you get married. It'll be the best gift that God ever has gave you, amen, other than salvation. A lot of people now, heard a man say this up there at Western North Carolina. I don't know if anybody here goes to Western North Carolina. I'm not trying to bum down your school or nothing like that. But he's up there just saying, use protection before you go into bed with a woman. Let me tell you the best protection you ever have. And I know it's quiet. I know you might think I'm vulgar. But I'm going to tell you right now, the best thing you ever told your children to do is stay holy before God and stay clean before God and stay on their face before God. Because I'm going to tell you, I was pure when I was married and I'm proud of it. I'm proud that God gave me enough strength. Yeah, I've about messed up a few times. But oh God, there's something inside of a child of God that helps you when you're in your lost state. That's the Holy Ghost and the power of God. Amen. Paul got down to the end of his life. Got down to the end of his journey. And everybody had let him go. Everybody, it seemed like, had withstood him. But Paul said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. But I want to preach on something for just a minute. Just a few seconds. We read about a man. Oh, I want to go into just a few more seconds. My wife tells me I'm bad to start something and never finish it. So God's helping me this morning to bring it back to my mind. We read about how Ezra, Nebuchadnezzar, by a man by the name of Artaxerxes, he stops the work. He stops the work of a building of the Lord, of the temple of God. But now we read how through prayer, a man by the name of Darius comes to be the king of Persia. And the Bible says that the children of Israel began to work again. Oh, yes. Yeah, the devil may try to stop the work here at going home. There may be people that try to destroy it. But if you've got God on your side, Brother Jeff, there's nothing in this world that can destroy the plan of the living God. Amen. But now we read about a man by the name of Darius, king of Persia. Now imagine this. Imagine this, young people. Imagine this. A man that has all the rule over the people. This little band of people, Brother Jeff. This little band of, I guess they could say they were no counts. They were nobodies. You know what the world's calling the Christians now? A bunch of misfits, holier than thou. Nobodies. But this band of nobodies, Brother Jeff, comes up and they began to build the temple again. Oh Lord, the devil may try to destroy Christianity in a whole. But oh God, I want to say this before I go anywhere else. When Jesus said it's finished, the devil may try to destroy you, but he'll never win another battle. Amen. God won the battle. But now we read. I want to be plain just for a minute. I want to be plain for just a minute. We read about how they began to build the temple again. They began to lay the foundations again. They began to build of the temple again. And the Bible says that you could hear a shout. You could hear a shout throughout the camp. You could hear a noise being out through the camp. And the Bible says that the younger ones that had never seen the foundation laid, they were shouting with joy. But you hear another shout. But it wasn't a shout of joy. It was a moaning shout. It was a dreadful shout. It was a dreadful noise. But you know what it was? It was the older generation that had seen the glory of the first temple. Let me say this right now. Listen to me, young people, and listen to me, older generation. We, my generation, hey, it may not have been able to see what your generation saw of the glory of the first temple, of the glory of the revival days, but don't drown ourselves. Give us some hope that there still is power in the name of Jesus, and we can have power, and we can have a shout too, no matter what our age is. I've been to churches before, Brother Jeff. I don't mean this rude, and I'm just going to be honest. I can only preach what I've been through in my life. I can't preach what Brother Jeff's been through. I can't preach what some of these other men have been through. But I'm going to tell you, when I announced my call to preach when I was 16 years old, I was 16 years old and I carried my Bible to school every day. I'm not saying that for no pride or no glory, nothing like that. God knows in my heart I wouldn't do it. But I carried my Bible to school every day. And there was people in my that older generation. I said, well, you ain't got to do that. That ain't what Christianity's all about. No, carrying a Bible ain't what Christianity's all about. But oh God, when I needed strength at school, when I needed help at school, I could go to my King James Bible and I could open up. Brother, what you read this morning? Oh God, He's my refuge. He's my high tower. He's my fortress. And the righteous run into it. Praise God. When I was down in despair, I could open up my Bible. When the drugs were coming against me, I could say no because I had the Bible in my heart. Amen. But now, we hear the shouting. But you read in Zechariah, what Zechariah say? He said it wasn't by might. It wasn't by our power. You know why, y'all young people, and I don't mean this rude, but you hear me right now. You want to know why a lot of young people are doing drugs and they're doing alcohol? They come up to this altar to get mom and daddy off their back. They come up to this altar to try to satisfy the appeasement of the flesh. But if you'll come up to this altar and you'll say, God, it ain't about my mama. It ain't about my daddy. It ain't about Pastor Jeff. It ain't about going home Free Will Baptist Church. But God, it's between me and you. And God, if you'll help me and you'll sustain me and give me the help that I need, God, I'll do what you say to do. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. When you get down there to high school, elementary school, you know the first time I ever learned about marijuana, I was in the sixth grade. You know the first time I ever seen my brother, I know this is going to get out, but you'll just have to live with it. You'll just have to live with it. It's the truth that matters. The truth will set you free. I can't sugarcoat it, Brother Jeff. We've had too many sugarcoaters now. Well, there ain't no truth coming out behind the pulpit trying to make everybody feel good. Your flesh don't need to feel good. Your flesh needs to be convicted and drawn away from the lust of this world. Amen. First time I ever seen my brother. Locked out on White Lightning. And I know some of you may think I'm wrong for saying this, but it's the truth. They hear it at school anyway. They hear about all the drugs and the alcohol at school anyway. And you know what's sad? We let them watch it on television right in our own doors. We let them watch about drugs and sex and alcohol and perverseness in our own doors. So don't get mad at the man of God if he says something like it is. Amen. Brother Jeff, I'm trying to get somewhere. Just bear with me just for a minute. But I remember I was a coon hunting one night, and I was walking around, and my brother had a bunch of friends with him. He had a bunch of guys, and he never took a sip of alcohol in his life, had never smoked a joint in his life. And he took a puff of that joint, and he took a sip of White Lightning at the same time. Brother Jeff, first time ever, I was scared to death of my life. I was going to lose my brother. First time I was ever worried out of my heart, I was going to lose my brother because he's going to die. I seen him there and he passed out. He fell back like that and he just went out. He laid there, just cold. He was passed out. That stuff will do something to you you would never thought you'd have do to you. It ain't made for a human body. It ain't made for human consumption. You better hear me, young people. The people at school may think it's a good thing. It's good on Friday night to get drunk and ruin your life. But you better hear me. Come to church on Friday night. You'll ruin, you'll take yourself. You'll make yourself a better Christian and a better person. Amen. But I'm going to tell you right now, and you better hear me. I'm not trying to be mean, not trying to be rude, not trying to be harsh. But I'm going to tell you, I've got a friend right now. Wouldn't mention his name or not. He'll know who I'm talking about. That'll be all right if he gets mad at me. But I've got a friend right now. He went off to college. He said that, Brother Jeff, to my face, he looked me right in the eyes, my best friend I ever had in my life, and he's still my best friend I've ever had in my life. He looked me right in the eyes, and everybody look up here at me. I'm trying to tell you something. I'm not trying to be mean. But he looked at me right in the eyes, and he said, Brother, he said, Jacob, I'll never take a sip of alcohol. I'll never ruin my life. I promise you I'll not do that. Well, he got up there at school, Brother Jeff, and he got off there by himself. He got off there by his lonesome. All of a sudden, somebody came by his dorm room. All of a sudden, somebody came and knocked on his door and said, why don't you come over here? We'll show you a good time. We'll let you have a good time. And then all of a sudden, Brother Jeff, he turned out. He started being an alcoholic. He started drinking his life away. But you know what God will do? You know what God can do right now? Help me right now, God, I pray. Let me say this right. There was an incident that took place in his life. Let me tell you how much God loves you before I give you something that you can't get no way out. Because you can get out of drugs. You can get out of alcohol. You can get out of a lustful life if you'll just put it in the hands of God. Amen. But his mama began to pray, Brother Jeff. This is what I want to talk about just for a minute. His mama began to pray. People in the church began to pray. And they said, Lord, whatever it takes, Lord, whatever it takes, do the work that only you can do. I heard the scripture in Zechariah, and I read it this morning. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I heard my aunt pray, and I heard her say, God, whatever it takes. My buddy was playing football one day, Brother Jeff, and two heads collided, and he had a concussion. And the doctor, he was trying to hide it from his mama, all that he could. And I know this is plain. I know he's going to know who I'm talking about. But I'm trying to do what God tells me to do. He had a concussion so great in his mind. And the doctor said, have you ever drunk alcohol? And Brother Jeff, you know what he had to do right in front of his mama? He had to say, yeah, I've drunk alcohol. And you should have seen the look on his face. The look of shame on his face. Because he had to say it right in front of his mama. But oh God, I believe that was the Spirit of God right there. Telling him, you may be ashamed of yourself in front of your mama. But one day you're going to be ashamed in front of a holy God for the life you lived. And right then and right there, he said, God, if you'll help me, I'll never take another sip. And to this day, he told me yesterday, with the help of the Lord, he's never took another sip. Amen.
My God.
But there's going to come a time, and I'm about through. Sister, if you'll go to the piano, please, just for a minute. There's going to come a time in your life. The Bible talks about a man by the name of Daniel. Daniel was all by himself. Daniel was about, I'll be honest with you, he didn't have. Back in the Old Testament, the Lord only moved on people at times, the Bible says. The Spirit of God, Brother Jeff, only moved on people at times. It didn't abide. It didn't abide with us like it abides with us now. But then you find a man by the name of Daniel. A young boy. A young boy that heard the truth. That heard the words of God. And said, I'm going to purpose it in my heart. That I'm going to live for you, God. I'm going to purpose it in my heart. That I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. And with the king's portion. He ate beans and water is all that he had. All that he had to sustain himself. He could have had the good meat. I know everybody here likes a good steak, a good ribeye. Lord, I could eat them all day long. But just imagine. He said, God, I'm not going to give myself to this world. I'm not going to give myself to the defilement of this world. And I'm going to purpose it in my heart that even in luck to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God, if you don't save me, God, if you even don't come to deliver me, I've got a purpose in my heart that I will not, defile myself to the wickedness of this world. Amen. And young people, you better heal me right now. Hear me right now. I'm not trying to be mean. But I know people right now that read their Bible. They read their Bible every single day of their life. And they didn't have it all the time purposed it in their heart. When they went off to school, they stopped reading their Bible. They stopped praying. They stopped fasting. They stopped getting on their face before God. And I stopped, some of you may get mad at me. But they stopped letting go of their cell phone. They stopped letting go of the entertainment of this life. And they started getting all that stuff. And it draw their attention away from God. But you hear me this morning. Stay your mind on the Word of God. And trust His Word. It'll never do you wrong. Amen. I want to ask you, while everybody's head's bowed, just for a minute. I know I've been long-winded this morning. I'm usually not long-winded. While everybody's head's bowed, just for a minute, I want to ask you today, if you're lost here, and you know that you're lost, you know you don't have no friends that will help you along the way that are devoted like Christian friends, you don't have nothing inside of you that'll help you when nobody else is around that help you live right. The Spirit of God. You know you don't have that living inside of you. And you want to have that Spirit today. You want to have that indwelling of the Holy Ghost today. And you know that you don't have it. You know you're lost. You know if you're dying right now, you know you die and go to hell. Would you raise your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me." God bless that hand. Anybody else? God bless that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else? Bless that hand. Anybody else? Bless that hand. Anybody else? All right, you that raised your hand, can I ask you to come up here and let us pray for you? Can I ask you to come up here and give your heart to the Lord? It'll be the best decision that you've ever made in your life. When mom and daddy at home, you can't go to them and you can't call on them and you can't find no comfort in them. There's a friend and there's a mother. There's a father. He said, "I'll be your mother. I'll be your father. I'll be your friend. I'll be your best friend." He'll be there for you. And I promise you that on the authority of God's Word. If you'll come up here and give your life to the Lord this morning, would you come, you that raised your hand? Would you come? Would you come? You that raised your hand, come on. All right, I want to ask you, child of God, you that saved, you know you've been discouraged. You know you've been discouraged for a long time. Your head's been hanging down. But I heard a message the other day while I was putting out some mulch. I heard a message by a man by the name of Terry Pace. He said, "It's time to dig a well. It's time for you to dig a well in your life. It's time for you to get back to and dig out them old wells like Jacob did from his father Abraham. He dug out them old wells. He went and got the mud. And he went and got the sand and all the rocks out of the well. Then all of a sudden them wells started springing up again. They started coming out with the water of life. It's been a long time since you've had revival in your soul. It's been a long time since you've had joy in your soul. Do you want to come this morning? Do you want to come this morning and say, "Lord, help me. God, give me that which I need. God, give me that what I need." Anybody want to come this morning? Anybody?
The service
anybody.
Is nearing an end.
Anybody?
And the choir
anybody.
Is singing just as I am. Now as the old song is played, people at the altar are kneeling down to pray. Some are